Thank you for kicking off this series, Jeremy. And we read Judges 4. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth, Hagoyim. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah was a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth. Was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the river Kishon, and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. Then Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Moab, of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tea in Zanamin near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned with Harosheth, Hagoyim, to the river Kishon, all his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go. This is the day that the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in, don't be afraid." So he entered her tent and she covered him with a blanket. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes and asks you, is anyone in there, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground and he died. Just then Barak came in pursuit of Sisera and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went with her and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him. You might have picked up perhaps one of the reasons, as we went through that with all those names, why Jeremy asked for that to be read before he came up to the front. But I'm sure he would have done a fine job. Jeremy, let us pray for you. Thank you for joining us today. Very good of you. And thank you for the time that you have spent in preparing. Let us pray for you. Loving God, we thank you for bringing Jeremy to us this morning. Thank you for all that you have laid on his heart. And as we hear his voice, may it be your words that we truly hear. Open our hearts to receive from you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for the warm welcome. And I bring greetings from Worthing Tabernacle. Okay, just a few dates. 27th of January, Holocaust Memorial Day. 6th of June, D-Day. 27th of June, Armed Forces Day. Second Sunday in November, Remembrance Sunday. 11th of November, Armistice Day. 25th of December, Christmas Day. There is a link between these. The link is that they're all there to help us remember. And that is extremely important because we as human beings have this habit of forgetting. And it doesn't take very long for us to do so. And one of our challenges as Christians is to stop the world forgetting Christ. Now, as we look in the book of Judges, we need to understand what's happened. If you remember, Moses has led the people of Israel, children of Israel, through the desert. Joshua has then led them in the campaign. And they have taken Canaan, subject to those times when they failed to obey God and therefore left Canaanites within that land. And they were warned that if they did that, Judges, God tells Israel that he will not drive out the inhabitants. This is Judges 5, verses 1 to 5. But that they will be thorns in their sides and their gods will be snares to the people because the people had not been obedient. Now, Judges begins with the death of Joshua. And you would have thought that having had the experience of coming through the wilderness, conquering Canaan, having these leaders who were obedient to God, that the people might be faithful. But Judges 2, verses 7 and 8, when Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done. So those who had seen Joshua's work had faith. Once he had died, and those immediately around him had died, Israel ran into problems yet again. And in Judges, there is a sort of cycle. The people rebel. God becomes angry. The people are oppressed by enemies. God sends the local armies to actually oppress them. The people cry out in repentance. God raises up a judge. Salvation comes through the judge, and there is a period of peace. And that cycle is repeated. So, what about Deborah? I think with Deborah, we've got to also think of Barak, because a lot of the story of Deborah ties in to Barak. So we read verse 4, the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud had died. If you go back in Judges, you will see how he had already started raising up judges, people to lead the country. They'd overthrown the oppressors and there was a time of peace. But after their death, yet again, the people fell into sin. And we think, oh, that was Israel. But what about us? How consistently do we have a good time, we walk with God, and then something happens and we fall into sin? We walk away. We struggle. Perhaps we change a minister. Or somebody we've been close to dies or moves away and we lose their influence. And we start thinking, well, what's it all about? I said, we get ourselves into trouble. We sin and we reject God. We stop reading his word. We stop praying. And our relationship with God becomes weak. And the trouble is that when we walk away from God, when we allow sin to have control of our lives, we become weak. We become ineffective. We start suffering from guilt. And we struggle. So again, the children of Israel had walked away from God. And in verse 2, the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera. So God punished them. God allowed them to be oppressed. If we ignore God, if we walk away from him, he does allow us to have times of difficulty. We can't think that once we are Christians, whatever we do, life is going to be all right. Life is going to be easy. Because God disciplines his children. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to have the pleasures of being his children. But if we ignore him, then there is a consequence. The people of Israel, in verse 3, then cried out to the Lord for help. And this is because Jabin and Sisera had an army of 900 chariots of iron. Now that seems quite a large army for those days. And it said, he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. So they had been under the oppression of this Canaanite king for some time. And finally, they realized that there was someone who could help them. They had to turn back to God. And we do that same thing. We allow ourselves to struggle. We may even walk away from the church because it's too hard or we are too ashamed. All we have to do is repent and turn back to God. But so often it's the last thing we want to do because we've actually been enjoying what we've been up to. We've got used to that way of life, and it means giving something up. But we are being oppressed. The devil is oppressing us. He is taking the joy away from our lives. He's damaging our relationships with one another and with God. And we need to turn back to him. And there is nothing that we can do that he will not allow us to come back to him. And we can do some awful things. Sometimes it's the way we treat one another. It may be something we've said or some offence we've taken. And it suddenly just breaks our relationships. But because we are people, we are human, we just stand on our own right, on our own pride, and allow those things to destroy us, rather than simply coming back to God and saying, I'm sorry. Turning away from it, putting that relationship right, and seeking to serve him. So now we've got Israel oppressed, but having acknowledged that God is alive. Because the trouble with Israel was they forgot about him. We have these days of remembrance. And if you go back to the Old Testament law, they should have been practicing all these times of sacrifice, of praise, of worship. And yet, interestingly, in this part of Judges, there is no mention of the tabernacle, no mention of the priest, no mention of any worship of God. They had walked away and they had to come back and realize their need for him and that he was still there for them, despite the fact they'd seen him at work through history. But we are the same. So, what God does is he raises up someone to be their leader. And in this case, it's Deborah. And Deborah is a prophetess. So she's someone who speaks the word of God. And she's also given the job of being the judge. And the people of Israel would come to her for their decisions and their judge her judgment. But she would also bring God's word to the people. So she had this special relationship with God at that time. And she'd been chosen by him to lead the people at this time of their repentance. And it's interesting, she didn't, as far as we are told, call the people to repent. They had repented, and then she was given the task. But she listened to God. She was obedient to them, to him. And again, today, God raises up people to help us. If we are going through difficult times, if we have turned away from God, God will raise up Christians to come alongside you, who will come to you and speak with you. And if you are one of those who God is calling to go and speak to somebody, don't shy away. Don't say it's not for me and just pass the problem on to somebody else. If God calls you to speak to somebody, that's what he's wanting you to do. And he will prepare the ground for what you have to say. So he called Deborah and given her this role as prophetess and judge. And then he gave her a task and a message. But it wasn't something for her to do. Some of the other judges, very much, they were the ones who had to go and do something. Deborah was given the task of calling somebody else. And that was Barak. And Barak was the son of Abinoam. And she calls him and says, and it depends quite which version you read, it's either has not or God has, but basically says to him, God has commanded that you shall lead the armies against the oppressors. Now, you'd have thought possibly that a man in that position might feel quite proud and, oh good, I'm going to be the one who's going to save the people. God's with me. And she says to him, go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 men. So he was going to have great power. But he refused. He was given the opportunity to lead an army against the enemy, to overthrow these oppressors. And he refused. Bit like Moses when he was told to go to Egypt and said, I can't speak, or Jonah when he fled far away from Nineveh. We can be the same. Not just these people from the Old Testament. Today, God calls us to do things, and all too often we turn around and say, I can't do that. You might be called to be a Sunday school teacher. I've never done that. That can't possibly be for me. Or to come up and do the reading or a prayer. And you say, I'm not a public speaker. I haven't done it. But if God calls you to do it, he will equip you to do it. It may be something else. Be a witness in your workplace. Do street evangelism. They're all sort of tasks that God calls us to do. And so often, we actually shy away from them because we do not trust that God will cause us to be able to do what he wants us to do. And that's what Barak's position was. He says, well, if you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go, I will not go. So here's a challenge for Deborah. She's not expecting to lead the army. She's been given the task of sending Barak. So what does she do? What would you do You have been told by God to tell someone else to do something. And they've said, well, only if you help me. And again, the temptation is to say, okay, forget it. I'll go and do it, or I'll get someone else to do it. But no, Deborah knew that God was in this situation. Deborah had faith in God and knew that if he said he was going to destroy the enemy, he would do so. So she was quite willing to say, I will surely go with you. So she was willing to support him. We need to be willing to do the same. Don't write people off because they aren't willing to take that step, because they aren't willing to do the task that you think they've been asked to do. Encourage, support, build them up. Be willing to take a risk yourself so that they can do what God wants them to do. So Deborah says, I will go. But there's a consequence. If you lead an army into battle and you win and you destroy the enemy and you kill their leader, you get power, you get glory, you get recognized as this great leader. Barak was not to be allowed to have that privilege. Because he said, I'm not going to lead the army without Deborah, God said, then you will not be the one who kills the other general. Sisera will be killed by a woman. And in those days, that was quite something to say, well, actually, you in the army aren't going to kill the enemy general. A woman's going to do it. And not even Deborah. It wasn't that he said, I've chosen Deborah to do it instead. It was just at this stage, a woman's going to do it. So Deborah and Barak did what they were called to do. They went forth, they raised the army, because Deborah had total faith in God and Barak was willing to go on her faith. And they were successful. They destroyed the army of Sisera. And they took their men and they defeated him. But Sisera ran away. And he thought he was going to be safe. He went into the tent of someone who he believed was an ally. And he hid there and told the person, the woman there, to just tell the Israelites, basically, if they're looking for me, tell them I'm not here. And he would have felt that he was nice and safe. Unfortunately for him, God had other plans. God's prophecy about how he would die was fulfilled when Jael killed him. A woman killed him so that Barak did not get the glory. God's prophecy is fulfilled. And God's prophecies will always be fulfilled. And the thing is for us, if we don't trust God fully, then we won't see him working through us to the extent that he had planned to do so. It will be less effective. He will still use us. Don't worry, you cannot escape God if he has a task for you. But it won't be as successful directly through you as it would have been. So God, again, brought Israel out of oppression and into peace. And in Judges chapter 5, it tells us that there was peace for 40 years. And then the cycle began again. But what we need to remember is that, yes, this was historical events. This is what happened to Israel. But it does happen to us. We have times of dryness, times when we fall into sin, times when we need help. God will raise people up to help us. And he will bring us out of those times and give us that peace we have in him. But on the other side, we could be the people he is calling to do that work. And if he's calling us, he wants us to have total faith in him. And if you are called by God to do something, don't shy away from it. Don't say, I can't, or I've never done it before. Say, yes, Lord, how am I to do it? How are you going to give me the abilities that I need to do that task at this time? And I can assure you, through church history, through Christian history, there are many people who ended up doing jobs, either temporary or permanently, that before God called them, they would never have dreamt they were capable of doing. But when God calls us to do something, by his Holy Spirit, he gives us the equipment we need to do it. Amen.